in the United Kingdom, the so-called Day of the MIFID. And Ian Rennie, our next speaker, is going to talk now about SMR responsibilities under MIFID II. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Just by means of introduction, am I? Is that better? Okay. My name's Ian Rennie. I've been working on regulatory reporting in one way or another over the last dozen years or so. Again, something that I don't boast about at dinner parties. I think someone else mentioned that earlier on. But in relation to today, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've set up a company with Dario Crispini, who's the ex-FCA transaction monitoring unit lead, and was also the guy that introduced the fines for transaction reporting, which when we're with clients, I never fail to mention. He's not here today, but what we effectively do, and we've obviously had quite a bit of experience with our banking clients, is we really provide evidence and that to senior managers and their delegates that their transaction reporting is correct. And that's taken from both Dario's experience at the regulator and mine in industry. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk a lot about transaction reporting, but just as a way of show of hands, can we see how many people in the room were involved in MIFID in any way, shape or form? Good. Thought it might be that, right? And how many in reporting? I'm expecting close to zero. Oh, a few? A handful? Okay, that's great. Okay. Well, I think you probably all recognise, with that in mind, it's a really easy target for the FCA to identify issues both in firms and individuals. And today we're going to look at a couple of points. First of all, we've looked at it from what do the executives who have the unfortunate, in their, many times their eyes, responsibility to be the SMR for transaction reporting. And the reason why I say unfortunate is this is binary. Okay, your transaction report is either right or it's wrong. There's no debate. There's no discussion. This is binary. And after our conversations over the last few years, this is why it's considered, along with perhaps something like CAS, one of the ones you don't want to become the SMR for, okay? But there are people out there that have to be, and as a result, they need protection. And so today, we're just going to go through some of the key questions that they've asked us, that they asked of their delegates, in order to prepare themselves for it. I remember when I first started looking at this, I saw that there was a quote from Tracy McDermott in 2016, who said that the SMR regime isn't about trying to get heads on sticks. I assure you, the SMR managers responsible for transaction reporting definitely feel that way within the organisation. For many of them, they, in all honesty, and they'd admit this, they didn't know what a transaction report was, what it was for, the purpose of reporting as a firm, what the regulators needed for it. So they feel in a very vulnerable position. And we think they're probably right to do so. And I think those that are preparing for SMR phase two, as we've been talking about today, so the buy-side firms, of which we have clients who are helping to get through today, making sure that you go through some of the questions that we're going to talk through today is absolutely key. We believe that if there is going to, when enforcement does come, and I'd be interested maybe in some of your thoughts at the end of the talk. Now, it might not be just on transaction reporting itself, but we expect that the senior manager regime or the senior manager who has responsibility for transaction reporting and other items, it's not just transaction reporting that they have, are probably the odds-on favourite to be the first to hit for enforcement. And we'll go through why we think about that. It's not just the binary nature. MIFID II has brought in some very specific controls which all firms have to have in place. And can I tell you now, I won't give a percentage, but since MIFID II go live, there's not many firms, even the large firms, that have the specific controls mandated under MIFID II. So very vulnerable position. And we can see why it's so vulnerable, because we've got these four aspects here. So we talked about the conduct rules. Each one of these four items that I've listed here senior managers who are responsible for transaction reporting responsibilities are vulnerable to. Failures to report correctly, or failure to have the right controls in place, or failure to report to the regulator are all instances that can occur if you don't have the proper delegation and controls in place around your transaction reporting. And MiFID II has just added to that. We're going to skip over this. At previous presentations, I've had a room full of people who are just do transaction reporting, so don't worry, I won't be asking you questions about your MiFID II delivery. Question number one, which we're often asked by senior managers responsible for transaction reporting, is that there's so much regulation, where does MiFID fit in? And I think this diagram summarizes it quite simply. Many of them will be dealing with bank structure, taxation, capital and liquidity, and market structure, which is really where transaction reporting comes into its place. So just doing that, placing transaction reporting and MiFID II in that context, allows them to have a bit of context around what he or she knows about regulation. The other question that we're often asked, so how did the industry, how did my firm do under MiFID I? And the simple answer is, despite it being in flow for since 2007, so over 10 years, since 2007, MiFID I, in many instances, where the industry, 1 plus 2 got 3, particularly on transaction reporting. We've done a bit of research, nearly half of all the transactions that have been reported under MiFID I are corrections. Okay, and that is when the rules and the requirements are relatively simple. We'll have a look at how complex MiFID II is. And again, complexity equals risk to the firm and that individual. We looked at the publicly available fine information from the FCA. The fines that Dario introduced, first one in 2006, 2007. There's been a dozen or so fines, about 10 with the data made available. And the really scary view is of those firms that have been sanctioned under MiFID I and fined for their transaction reporting obligations, of those 10 firms, about 180 million records, only 35% of all transactions that they reported didn't have one error on, which is quite sobering. In some instances, they only have to report 12 fields, in others, 15, 16. MiFID II introduces 65 fields, and the complexity is many times that. It's not just about the fields. What's being asked is hugely complicated compared to MiFID I. Again, we won't go into it. But what it does bring about is this binary question we talked about. The data quality that firms are providing to regulators under disclosure information to the PRA and FCA, is an area that can be caught. This is an obvious test of how well firms are meeting that obligation. So we expect that MiFID II reports are going in at the moment, and the number of transactions that are being reported correctly is way below that 35%. And we see it in the testing that we run every month for our clients. The consequences of poor data quality. The fines are going up. So, first fine back in August 2009. The last fine for transaction reporting was for 13 million, which worked out at just around 50p per transaction. The most recent fine for EMEA came in at 30 million. There are two fines that are still to be announced under MiFID I, which have been received under a Freedom of Information Act. There is speculation in the media that one of those fines could be 90 million. And there's a reason behind this. So regulators, so the FCA, EMEA, the CFTC, when you go over to the States, they are coming under increasing pressure because the quality of the data that they're getting from firms is not good enough. Data is landing on the Bank of England desk from an EMEA report. It's landing directly from the firm on another one. The sums don't add up. So what's happening is the regulators have asked for every bit of data that they could following the crash. They've got it, but they're not able to use that data in any sensible way. So Who gets kicked if the regulators are getting kicked by the regulatory bodies? The industry is. So you have this situation, complexity is going up, and the level of the quality of data being sent to the regulators is going down. And you as an SMR are sat there holding that situation. Sorry, can I just grab some water? Thanks. We've talked about the complexity of MiFID II. I could have waxed lyrically about this, but I think this picture pretty much shows it up. I think it's what Gove had in mind for primary school education for maths. But in all seriousness, we're seeing a level of complexity, not just from transaction reporting, but other areas. And I heard MiFID II described as getting all the best parts you could think about for a car, but then all trying to put them together without any sequencing, and you don't know whether the car's going to start. That feels very much how MiFID II feels it at firms that we go around and see. In terms of the complexity, from the transaction report, firms now need to report the decision maker within a firm, for example, who executed that. They're inside leg measurement. I mean, the levels of complexity has really increased. I can't stress that enough. Other questions that we are asked by senior managers is how does the regulation fit together? They're banded around by their delegates that they need to comply with this technical standard or this regulation. So setting out how that framework, that European framework works, and let's see what happens with Brexit, is a real key part of that training that the senior manager responsible for transaction reporting requires. And somebody said previously, getting this stuff on computer-based training doesn't work. We have to sit there, go through this, it's a valuable hour. If they get 10% each time that you take it to them, after a few sessions, they have some usable information. As you said, many of you were involved in MiFID II. What was it trying to achieve? Which is, again, in those conversations with the FCA as a senior manager, you would be expected to understand. So, largely speaking, moving OTC trading onto trading venues, increasing transparency arrangements, so price transparency between the buy side and the sell side community, obtaining a comprehensive set of data through reporting, and this is the one that we're talking about today. That's what it's felt like, and we've been on this outside. I think actually, in all honesty, people have felt it has gone better than has been expected. If I'm being honest, but it does feel like that. There was so much change, so much contradiction in some of the regulations. So there was a demand for increased transparency, but at the same time, greater liquidity. Now, in the industry, that kind of thing doesn't work. And when you are the senior manager regime, and we talk to managers who are responsible for large universal banks, they have multiple asset classes, they have multiple businesses that they are responsible for. They have project teams telling them that they're green or they're amber or they're red and their metrics is disjointed. They cannot, hand on heart, say how good their transaction reporting is. And if they can't say that, then they are vulnerable. Let's skip over the question. The regulation, how do we tame the MiFID II beast, at least from a transaction reporting perspective? And this actually came from one of our clients. He said, how do I tame this beast? The regulators have been very prescriptive in the controls that they need for transaction reporting. And this should be mindful for those that are introducing the senior management regime. They specify reconciliations, not just that you should have reconciliations in place, but between which bits of data you should have reconciliations in. They specify that you need to have testing in place, both of your trades and your reference data. Now, I'm going into this in a little bit of detail, because this is really prescriptive. And this is in the regulation. This is in level one text, which is quite stringent. So what that means, if you don't have those controls in place to that standard, that in itself is a breach of the regulation, and again makes you vulnerable as a senior manager. So this applies obviously to the sales side, the banks, since 2016 complying with these types of requirements, and we're seeing increasingly on the buy side firms taking it up. I can tell you now, you know, it's going to take a long time for there to be compliant in that, and understanding the regulator's need for enforcement. And in that environment that we talked about before, where their need for data quality is getting ever greater, we would not be surprised that the first breach under SMR comes at least as a result of breaches in transaction reporting, however dull transaction reporting might appear to be. I think this probably isn't for this audience, but these are the types of controls that they require to be put in place. Very prescriptive of us, as I said. Reconciliations between the trading system and the regulator system, not the back office system. Tests on your reports that end up at the regulator, and tests on your reference data. So, unfortunately, the European regulators over the last 10 years with MiFID have a rich cheat sheet of understanding the excuses that firms make about not getting their reporting correct. And this is why they've been very prescriptive in their regulation. I might just do this as a show of hands, actually. This is a... The most recent FCA transaction reporting fine was for $16 million. And we did some analysis on it, and this really surprises some of the senior managers we show it to. So having a really good reconciliation in place, so if we go back to this one here, so between the primary trading systems and the regulators, just as a bit of fun, I guess. How many of the errors do you think it would have identified of this fine? Do you think a really good reconciliation would identify 90% of all issues? If you do, raise your hand. 60% of issues. Yeah, it's not as fun as blockbusters, this, is it? 30% of issues. 20%. Yeah, you've kind of guessed it, yeah. So an investment in a really good reconciliation tool, which a senior manager could stand behind and say, this is top notch. This was only identifying 20% of the issues that the firm got fined for, hence why this need for testing. So we're working very closely with them to make sure that they get a dashboard with real evidence about their reporting, in order for them to actually move on and look at their other responsibilities. And unless firms have the capacity to demonstrate that, to test, to prove that the reporting is correct, then they are suspect. That they are liable for investigation. And if that wasn't enough, the FCA has spent millions on their own database, employing data science techniques to identify issues proactively. Previously, very few issues were identified by the regulators. Now, again, under the pressure that they are being forced to test that data. So, do we have any senior managers in the room today who are going to be senior manager for transaction reporting? No. Okay. Cool. I'm just going to conclude about what steps to protect yourself and firm. So make sure you have a clear understanding of what's being delivered. MiFID II is still ongoing. The project teams are mobilised. They will be through to the end of this year. Have the effective internal policies and governance that we've talked about today. I think communication with the regulator is key that we've talked about. But number five, evidencing that your reporting is correct. If you don't do that, you are really liable to an unwelcome surprise. Thank you. Okay, that was just a quick whistle through. I didn't want to labour too much on the reporting side of things. If there are any questions, then please feel free to raise your hand. Otherwise, we'll conclude there.
Any questions for Ian? Angela? At the front.
Okay. You put up a table of the fines, but you will know that it's not every firm that's had to remedially transaction report that has been fined. There have been a number that have got away, and
yes,
therefore, why did they get away? There is a glimmer of hope for senior managers in reasonable steps.
Yeah.
And an anecdote that I can share with you, which may well be good marketing for Kaizen, as well as a glimmer of hope for any SMFs who are responsible for transaction reporting. I did actually, back in 2013, advise an investment bank who had to put in a very large number of remedial transaction reports and were not fined. And their incoming compliance officer, who was aware that recently there had been a rash of fines by the FSA, refused to take on the job unless an external consultant did a quality assurance exercise. And so that was done. But unfortunately, there were still errors in the reports. But that was a very important reason why there was no fine in that place. They had done everything they could to try to do the right thing.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, what we have seen is over the last 8 years or so, I mean, I think at the top of the conversation, nearly half of all the billions of records that have been reported over the 10 years are replays. So before it gets to fine, there is a very costly remediation exercise. Now, we've been into firms where they have gone through multiple reviews. And reviews traditionally have been carried out either by the firm themselves or by consultants, whereby for firms that report, you know, 500, 600, 700 million transactions a day, testing is done on a materially insignificant sample of transactions, and it doesn't work. And I don't want to pitch, but what we do differently is we test all trades. So we take all transactions. So we've got clients which we've tested all the way back to 2014. It runs into hundreds of millions of transactions. And the reason why firms get fined is because of that drip-drip effect. And just employing Bank of America, it's public available information, the FCA fine that they got for transaction reporting, they had two internal reviews, two external reviews, a final internal review, and each time they went back and said, we're good. And it wasn't good enough. And so it's that drip-drip effect of flushing out all of the issues. And that's why we do, I think the industry, and we welcome, because it's been very good for our business, this idea of continually testing. So firms introduce risk weekly, monthly, as their systems are changed and their reference data has changed. This is painting the seventh bridge, but on steroids, because you're continually introducing risk and having to test and check them. Yeah. Any other questions? No?
So I've got one, actually, on a slightly different topic, but what underpins the transaction reporting regime is the FCA's market surveillance, isn't it? And I think MiFID II, has it doubled or something, the number of fields that you have to complete? I mean, do you think the FCA has the capacity to sort of analyse and understand the vastly increased amount of data that they've now got?
Yeah, I think the short answer is yes. The fields have gone from 26 up to 65. Not all fields are reported, depending on what reference data you report through. They have invested significantly in upgrading their, it's called MDPS, it used to be called Zen, both in terms of processing capacity, but also for running tests over that data. So for those that aren't aware of the purpose, and often in these conversations you can lose it, the purpose of transaction reporting is to detect market abuse. So any inaccuracies in the data can throw out false positives. So that's why they invested a lot of money in their own investigation of the data. There are fields that certain regulators around Europe are more interested in than others. The FCA are maybe less interested in the short selling flag that was introduced by the BaFin, and both are less interested in the commodity positions indicator field, which is introduced by the French and by the Italians. But I think the FCA have invested a lot of money. I think the BaFin have invested a lot of money. But outside of those two, the ability for regulators to identify issues with the data quality is really limited. Secondly, because there is so much more reporting, there's reporting under EMEA, which is for identifying systemic abuse to make sure Lehman's never happens again. The regulators are now able to look at the same trade reported by two different parties and identify whether there are any gaps in there. So their ability in terms of both technical and access to data to identify issues with the firm's data has increased many times since the introduction of MiFID II.
Great. Well, Ian, that was really interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.